This conversation is with Shulamit Berleftov. Hi, Shulamit.
Hi, Serge.
So you are passionate about focusing and nonviolent communication,
mm-hmm.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah, what I love is how focusing, learning to contact my felt sensing in a reliable kind of way has given dimension to my practice of nonviolent communication. And because it's so rich, that's and fun and beautiful. That's why I like to share.
So the practice of nonviolent communication came first, and focusing is something that helped you deepen it.
Yes, I came to nonviolent communication about 8 years ago, and entered the track for certification as a trainer. And the reading list, the recommended reading list, had Jean's focusing book on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I first heard about focusing and first came into contact with the idea. Eventually, I signed up for classes with Ann Weiser Cornell. So my training is in the inner relationship focusing tradition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's now how I came back to nonviolent communication with that flavor of focusing.
So that inner relationship part, yeah.
Yes. And that, in fact, when you pick that out, brings me to something that I want to amplify on about what focusing has brought to my practice of nonviolent communication. What I noticed was that the teaching I had received didn't give me a way to be in relationship with the life alienating aspects of my experiencing, what we would call in the terms of nonviolent communication, life alienating, or also we call it jackals.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people will talk about it as the critical voice or the judging mind.
Mm-hmm.
Nonviolent communication invites us into a relationship with that. It invites us into an awareness and an interaction. And what I noticed is that what had kept me away from that relationship was an experience of being completely overwhelmed when I would step toward that part of me. I wasn't aware of it as a part.
Mm.
It was the sum total of my experience.
Yeah. So there is something in nonviolent communication, that you find focusing actually helpful to help you deal with without being submerged by it, and that includes that critical part of you or of your experience.
Yes, and in fact, I would expand. It's not only the critical part.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that reflection, because it makes room for more. The first layer is that criticizing voice, what we would call the jackals, the shaming, blaming kind of self-talk or talk toward other people, but in particular, you know, toward myself,
mm-hmm.
Is what was more difficult to be with. But also strong emotions, powerful mm. emotional experiences, when they would come in me, the same with the critical part, I experienced it as all of me. And so that was really tough to accompany.
Yeah.
Because there was
yeah.
nothing to keep me company.
Yeah.
And so.
So you get lost in the intensity of either the critic or the strong emotion.
Yeah.
And you identify with it as all of you. And there is something in which focusing has been helping you to not drown into the intensity of that, but notice it as it only being a part of you.
Yes. And let me see. There's more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to separate what focusing, there are two aspects of focusing. There's in particular the inner relationship, that we learn in Anne's teaching, which I would understand in other schools of focusing as what we would call the focusing attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to have an experience of those focusing attitudes toward myself. I mean, mm-hmm. It's one thing to say, well, I accept, you know, I'm accepting that I'm judging or blaming, or I'm accepting that I'm sad. And of course, another thing entirely to actually have that happen.
Yeah. So something about, it says that sense of, it's not just the words, it's not just a concept that you're accepting, but you have vis-a-vis yourself in your acceptance of this difficult part, something that, we experience as a focusing attitude of getting it at that level.
Yes. So that's one aspect of the focusing part, the focusing contribution that I wanted to bring. And
actually, I wanted to maybe, I understand very consciously that I'm interrupting you here, but what I'm realizing is that for people who are not familiar with nonviolent communication, it may be feeling strange that maybe we haven't said a few words about it.
Oh, right, sure. So what if I were to offer this last little piece, and then we mm-hmm. can come to a little bit more about nonviolent communication.
Great.
Okay. So there's the contribution that it made with respect to having some distance with myself, or some focusing attitudes toward myself, or an inner relationship toward myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the aspect of felt sensing, which when something comes to me, and it used to be the whole of my experience, now felt sensing also gives me more about what's happening. So, for example, sad isn't just a word. It's a whole experience that I feel in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more than just sad. It's a certain kind of sad with a certain kind of taste or touch or feel. And so the value for me of focusing is both of those. It's the inner relationship and it's the felt sensing in my body.
Yeah. So when you're describing the felt sensing, talk for instance about not just sad, but that kind of sad, or it's a little bit like the joke about how, you know, the Eskimos have many words to describe snow, and you live in there, so you know the various nuances.
Yes. Yeah. And so, to talk a little bit about nonviolent communication, it was developed by Marshall Rosenberg. He was searching for an understanding of how people could find the resources in themselves to be with one another in a way that promotes connection rather than alienation.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up with this, the practice of nonviolent communication. And I'm going to share the four aspects of the process and then say a little bit about the something that is underneath those four components.
Mm-hmm.
So the four components of nonviolent communication are, as I would say them in focusing kind of language, observing, feeling, needing, and requesting.
Observing, feeling, needing, and requesting.
Right. So Marshall proposes that if, when we think about one another and when we speak to one another, we first notice what's happening around us, mm-hmm. in a particular kind of way that has to do with non-judgmental or non-evaluative looking. He'll sometimes say, like, as if an audio tape recorder or a videotape recorder would record.
Yeah.
So that we say, I notice that, let me think of a situation so I can give an example. I notice that the door is open.
Okay.
You know, it's a simple representation of the material, what we might say the material facts or the objective, you know, it's an objective world.
Yeah.
That we start with observing. And when I notice that the door is open, I'm feeling maybe perplexed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a need for, or I'm needing, information.
Mm-hmm.
And so my request is, can you give me some insight into why the door is open?
Mm-hmm.
What was motivating you to leave the door open?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very, very, very simplistic representation of the four components.
Yeah.
Just so that people have a basic idea.
Okay.
So
as in a way, just what I'm noticing and want to give you as feedback is
yes.
part of it that I'm hearing is that in ordinary conversation, we process all of this instinctively and we jump to a reaction that includes all of that. And what I'm hearing from it is by paying more attention to these four components, there is a slowing down of the process where you have more awareness and possibly less contamination of the conversation with the various components of what
yes.
happens inside.
Yes, instead of leaping to, you're a complete jerk because I've asked you 100 times to keep the door shut and it's open and here it is open again.
Yeah.
And how inconsiderate of you and you don't care about me.
Right.
You know, I have an opportunity now to invite a conversation.
Mm-hmm. And so I can see, as you're describing this way of how there is already, you know, in the approach, a slowing down and a paying attention to components, and from this slowing down, how nicely focusing would dovetail with that.
Oh, yes. So I'll say one more thing about the underlying bit about the four components, and then come right back to the point you're making about how they dovetail.
Mm-hmm.
The heart of the process is the needing. And that's what we would call needs consciousness if we were talking in the NVC community.
Mm-hmm.
Because although I might not always express myself in exactly this kind of way, I do have my attention on these four components so that when I come into a situation, I have a way of focusing my attention on what something that is more likely to bring me into connection with this other person, that are the needs that they're trying to meet or the needs that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say that the practice of nonviolent communication is about our attention and our awareness more than it is about the words that we use, ultimately.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, yes, exactly. It dovetails very well with focusing because in my point of view, because right away when I come into a situation, there's something happening in me that's all about the situation I'm in, that the whole of my body environment, the whole genes concept of body, you know, it's living in mm-hmm. this situation.
Yeah.
So something's happening in me in relation to the situation. That's what I would call the needing. That's what I feel.
Okay.
For in NVC terms, my need is stimulated. So I'm sensing something in me that's moving as I come into the situation. And In the same way that in when we want to support ourselves in connecting with the felt sense, in focusing, we want to really take time. Mary's revolutionary pause, you know. I want to come into this situation. I'm noticing what I'm sensing in my body, which has to do with emotion, the feeling, but also so much more.
Yeah.
And I take a moment to be with that. And in NVC terms, we would do it in a certain kind of way. In the same way that in focusing terms, we do it in a certain kind of way. With focusing attitudes.
But so am I right in understanding that part of what your focus is going to be in NVC mode is what the needs are, yours and the other person. Not necessarily that you're trying hard to do that, but you have some curiosity about needs?
Yes. Yeah. And the underlying... So I want to check because I heard something funny on the line that we're still connected.
We are. We are.
Okay, good. So just give me a moment to return to where I was. So when I come into a situation in a focusing kind of way with an NVC awareness, what I'm observing, first of all, is what's happening inside of me. I'm observing my feeling process, my sensing process. And because that's the first level, like the first available level to me that arises in connection with the needing, the needs that are stimulated inside of me are first, like the thread that leads me toward identifying and connecting with those needs is this, the observing in my body what I'm, you know, like, I notice there's a heaviness in my chest, for example. And when I spend a moment with that kind of heaviness in a focusing kind of way, it opens to a feeling of, let's say in my previous example, puzzled. I'm feeling kind of puzzled.
So I wanted to check
and
something. Is it possible maybe that right now as we talk, we use this as an experiment to pay attention to what is happening in our process of communicating?
Yes. So in this moment, I'm noticing a kind of shaky feeling in my body. And also a smile, because you can probably hear the smile, because I'm loving the invitation in. It's fun for me and also really alive. So both of those things are happening. So I'm coming back to the shaky feeling that I'm noticing. That, and the name that I would give to that feeling is nervous. And so I'm taking a moment to acknowledge, and this is the interrelationship part, to acknowledge the part of me that's nervous. And as I notice it, it relaxes a little bit. It's still there, but I have some ease in my body. And as I sit with it, it has an opportunity to unfold. It's like, in this case, the metaphor that comes is kind of like a staircase. I'm kind of like, coming down, settling in. Because the feeling is like a door that invites me. And it invites me into connection with the needing part. Or rather, the part of itself, actually, the aspect, the more of the feeling of nervousness that is its needing, its wanting for, oh my goodness, so many things. So now I feel really like, whoa, just like, it's a party. It's like a big present.
Yeah.
Clarity is the first word that comes. It's really wishing for clarity because it's just so passionate about how much fun this is and wanting for that to really come across.
Mm.
Clarity and, let me see. And as I check back, you know, the needing word, the for clarity, you know, it gives me an opportunity to resonate with mm-hmm. that feeling in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Clarity and contribution.
Yeah, yeah.
Like really wanting for this to be of value to the folks who hear it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what I'm hoping for now, Serge, it's really clear to me how the four components are there, and it's really clear to me how focusing is there, but I wonder, is it clear to you?
So maybe it takes a moment. Maybe I need to take a moment to
yeah.
just, you know, go inside. And I'm noticing, in a way that from this place, the last thing in the world I want to do is to answer with a yes or no. You know? And there's much more of an interest in, sharing that sense of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that mixture of nervousness and excitement and possibility of there is something that's immediately happening. It's not, you know, just it's out of the ordinary, regular, everyday communication. There's a sense of excitement about being engaged in doing this with you, of feeling your excitement about it. So I'm experiencing a lot of resonance with that. And the more intellectual part, you know, that would have a conceptual overview of it is not quite turned off, but more like in the background.
Yes.
So I'm noticing of how, you know, I mean, it's, I'm interested in that, but I'm noticing that emotionally I'm more in the part of connecting emotionally with the excitement of that and the clarity and that desire for clarity and, you know, that you're expressing.
Mm. So there's something in you that's kind of in the front or more with you about excitement and clarity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not just excitement and clarity by themselves, but that sense of it being a shared endeavor.
Yes.
Or like the resonance of that.
Yes. So it's the excitement and the contribution and the clarity in the togetherness.
Yeah.
Of us here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, as I receive that, I notice, what comes up for me is the fun.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, and the company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The fun of company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the fun of company is what comes up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certainly observing as I'm resonating with you a little surprise. Because in a way, I'm echoing the fun of company, but my voice didn't seem at that time like having fun. So like, there's more of a sense of awe or a little, you know, just, that for a moment it was not so much the fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming back a little bit as I'm noticing it and noticing the irony of it and communicating with you. So there's more than just the fun. There's something mm-hmm. else as well that's more serious.
Yes. Yes, so you're sensing something more there that's serious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, again, part of this, like, a little something of, like a little turmoil, a little about, have we gotten lost in the process and in doing that lost track of, in a way, the goal or the content or, you know, the topic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm aware of that turbulence inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, you know, wavy or something that, and it's kind of a, it's a mixture of enjoying the process and at the same time that kind of wavy, turbulent feeling about, am I lost or are we lost?
Mm-hmm.
And a curiosity about whether this is simply something that is happening in this particular conversation at this moment, or whether that is something that might actually be part of a communication process where you can go more into the process, and is this part of what might be typical of something that can happen in it?
So I'm noticing an impulse in me to share from my experience in response to that question.
Mm-hmm.
In this moment, I'm noticing that how we're communicating with each other, for me, is so complex, actually. The levels of what's happening are so rich that it would take a long time to tease out in a linear kind of way. The way I see it, the aspects of nonviolent communication and of focusing are woven into how we're being together. And at the same time, let me think, let me check. There's...
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say it's one of the most complex examples of crossing nonviolent communication with focusing that I've ever participated in.
Mm-hmm.
Because most often when I'm listening to someone, let's see, there's two things. Usually, I'm either kind of in a schmoozy situation where if I'm with a focusing person and we're in relationship with one another, we'll have some dipping into experiencing and dipping into relational things to share with one another, the aliveness of that, and then dipping out into just schmoozy kind of stuff and then dipping back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or... we have a formal agreement. I'm in a conversation with someone, and we have a formal agreement about how we're going to be together. And so my listening is more, how shall I say? First, I listen about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we switch, and they listen about me, and then we switch, and I listen about them, and then we switch, and I listen about me, yes. And so, when we switch formally like that, it's much, the components of what we're doing are much more discreet.
Yeah. So there's a structure in a way. In the first case, the structure is there's an alternance between, you know, that deeper process and the schmoozing.
Mm.
And in the other case, is a structure of going back and forth. So the focus is one person listens or the other does, which makes it easier, in a way to see where you are.
Yeah. Yes. And we have an agreement also, like in focusing, we have an agreement that this is a focusing partnership, and so for X amount of time, I'm going to be the companion and you're going to be the focuser, and then we switch. And the same in NVC, we have a partnership arrangement we call empathy buddies, where most often there's an agreement that for a certain amount of time, I will listen with presence and verbal reformulation of your, particularly your feelings and needs, and then we switch so that then I'm expressing and you're listening to me with your presence and also verbal reformulation where you guess at what I might be feeling and needing in the moment.
So
the parts of the process are much more discreet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're more obvious.
Yeah. So for these reasons, in a way, it becomes very complex in the experience we've had to really, as you said, tease out the various components.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious to me. I can feel it, right? It's so clear. And yet, and yet to talk about it, it would probably take a couple of hours.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah.
So as we have maybe in a way emerged a bit out of, you know, the middle of that experience itself by talking a little bit about it, by comparing it to other situations where there is more structure, is there a way that we can come back to, you know, what you were saying, that you were experiencing a lot of clarity about? Or is that actually gone so far out of awareness that we're in a different place right now and we should pay attention to, you know, where things are?
Well, I'm feeling an urge to, like we say en français, boucler la boucle, to come, to come back around.
Yes, yes.
To complete the gestalt, you know, to just.
Yes, yes. So let's loop the loop.
Yeah. Because what I'm aware of is that I've talked without pointing to them explicitly about two different ways of being in the world in relation to nonviolent, the use of non, or the living of nonviolent communication. I talked about how I would express myself to someone. And then I also demonstrated how I would use those four components inside myself to, for connection with myself. And I want to just point to that explicitly, that there, that the foundation of the practice of nonviolent communication, is in self-connection, where I notice, and you, and hopefully folks will be able to refer to when you asked me what was happening with me right now, when I talked about how I was feeling and what I was needing, that I was in connection with myself and the four, you know, with an awareness of the four components.
Yes.
And then I also gave an example of with the door open, how I would, use those four components in expressing myself outwardly. And how if I don't, what I'm hoping also folks would see is that if I'm not connected with myself first, then it's difficult to make that external expression.
Yeah.
And that the focusing supports me, my felt sensing and my ability to be in relationship with myself, supports me in connecting with myself and with the four components as they move in me. So that I can then express them externally if I, if that's what I choose to do. In a way that's likely to support having a conversation with the other person.
Yeah, it's like a foundation. Without that foundation, the rest is more shaky.
Yes. And so also, to point to how it was with you and I, you know, I expressed how it was for me, and at the end, there's what we call the request phase of the conversation. Where I might ask somebody to do something, but more often I'm going to check, did you get what I was trying to say? Or how was it for you to hear that? And folks might notice that what I said to you was, did you get what I was saying? And what you answered was, well, actually how I am in relation to what I just heard is.
Right.
And both of those are invitations to dialogue, so that both of us, those carried us forward together.
Mm-hmm. 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 So, you know, the part that's interesting there is, as you mentioned the request, is that the clarity of the request is actually something that helps drive forward, the unfolding of the process in a good way.
Yes. So in NVC, we call this kind of request a connection request.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see the analogy, the connection request is a way of carrying our we-ing forward.
Yeah.
As opposed to an action request, which is not necessarily going to carry us forward. It might or it might not.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm asking you, let's say, to come back to the door example, would you close the door, please?
Mm-hmm.
That's a yes or no kind of thing.
Right.
Whereas when I say, could you give me some information about what was going on with you that led you to leave the door open, then we're engaged with one another.
Yeah, you're in a process as opposed to, in a way, a question of wills and of yes, no.
Yeah. And this I'm just appreciating right now inside me. I'm just feeling so like, woo. One of the things that I'm working on, who knows how it will manifest in the future,
mm-hmm.
is mapping very clearly how the concepts of focusing and the concepts of nonviolent communication, what's the verb? Hang on a minute. How they...
So I like to just, in a way, point out the beauty of this thing, that there is an interaction between the concept and there is a vagueness about finding the right word for it.
Yes.
And this is a precious moment about it, and maybe that's part of your work. That, in a way, even finding the precise nature of the way in which they something.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I want to say map onto one another, but it's not. It's more than that, because it's not a laying over one of the other. It's a coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Bonifier, amplifier. What is that?
You know, they amplify how they interact with each other, how they might, help each other out.
Add dimension.
Synergy. Add dimension to each other.
Yeah. And so, I'm getting a little hit of that, what's thrilling to me in that, because just having the opportunity now to talk to you about the connection request and how it enables us to carry forward
mm-hmm.
is a concept that I felt but didn't have words for.
Beautiful.
And
yeah,
by
beautiful.
Talking about it with you, I have conceptual clarity now that I didn't have before, which is so thrilling to me. Yeah, I love that. And that's the fun of the togetherness that I was talking about before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so that now that you have that moment of experiencing in a different way what happens in a connection request, and what's coming together for you is that concept of, you know, how they amplify each other, the two approaches, and that experience of it, and then the possibility of expanding more on articulating it in a way that other people can experience it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of me would like to write a book about it, and the other part, mm-hmm. then there's another part that goes, ugh, who's gonna read a book like that? I mean, it's got such a narrow audience, but, something in me just loves this. It's just so rich for it. It's like a game. It's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, just, connecting with that sense of fun and expectation, and also the ... about we don't know what's going to happen, of whether it's going to take the form of a book or something else.
Yeah.
Might be a nice place to end this little piece of conversation that we're sharing with other people.
Sure.
This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prengel, All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.